Good morning. A Tuesday morning, we're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, the news broke yesterday amidst the roundtable panel that the Supreme Court had denied Trump's final bid to shield financial records. It was a decisive defeat for the former president, who had gone to great lengths to keep his taxes secret. Your thoughts on the impact of that decision now?
Well, first of all, I think we should say that Clarence Thomas, whose wife, of course, is a conservative activist and who has gotten into a little bit of hot water, came out with a blast. He's pro-Trumpian. No matter what happens, he's usually joined by Alito and Gorsuch, interestingly. But Thomas has really set himself up, so I think he ought to be impeached. But that's another whole story. He is just outrageous when it comes to defense of the president, and he is continuing to do that. In any case, the opinion, of course, just gets to the grand jury. That is not the public, but the grand jury, which is supposed to be secret, this information about Trump's taxes. And we know what the district attorney, Cy Vance, is going after, and that is proof that he misrepresented himself in borrowing money and doing the kinds of things that one does in big business. However, if it can be proven that he was really doing this on purpose, and he was doing it for reasons of self-aggrandizement, either fiscal or otherwise, it could result in a felony indictment. And then the question comes as to what you do with a felonious president. Do you put him in jail if you convict him? Now, New York County is much more likely to convict a Trump than other places, but you still got to convince a jury of 12 people that the president is guilty. And all it takes is one person on that jury to say no. And then, of course, the question of if he is convicted, do you really put him in jail? In any case, the grand jury is now going to have this information. And this is, of course, politically very good for Cyrus Vance, who has a lot of people who want to run against him for district attorney and who might have succeeded, except that a lot of people are going to be saying, we got to allow him to see this thing through because he's the guy who's bringing Trump to the bar of justice.
So let me ask you, as you look in your political crystal ball, does he get convicted, number one? And if so, do you see the former president going to jail?
On both of those questions, the answer is a clear, I don't know. My sense of it is that he would not go to jail. I don't know. I think it'd be very hard to put a former president of the United States in jail. But it could happen. Now, does he get convicted? It's a tough one. Trump's got a legion of lawyers, and he will continue to use those people. And some of these things, as we saw with Shelley Silver, can take years and years before they are adjudicated. So my crystal ball is very hazy. I have to get the technician in here to see if he can find a way to make it a little bit clearer.
Well, Merrick Garland couldn't have been clearer yesterday in his testimony. At times, very powerful and emotional. He vowed to sharpen the focus of the Justice Department on the Capitol riot if he's confirmed as Attorney General. He also sought to assure lawmakers that the Justice Department would remain politically independent on his watch. The emotional part was centered around, really, immigration, the idea of the country taking he and his family who fled the Nazis and protecting him. And you could see that it was emotional for him, and he felt an obligation to give back.
Well, he gave a good presentation. He was emotional. And if you don't get emotional about that, then what do you get emotional about? He is obviously a splendid candidate. He got a very good reception from both the Democrats and the Republicans in the hearing. I was fascinated as I watched it. He was not fawning by any means, but he gave them answers that they wanted to hear. Now, my sense of it is that he knows it. We knew that they would ask him about Hunter Biden. We knew that they would ask him about anything that they could embarrass him with. And he apparently gave them answers they liked. What else are you going to do except say, we will follow the law?
Security officials are set to answer for January 6 failures at the Capitol today. Alan, Congress set to hear from former security officials about what went wrong, and three of the four testifying Tuesday resigned under pressure immediately after the attack, including the former head of the Capitol Police. Much is still unknown, and lawmakers are demanding answers. Two of the officials will be speaking publicly for the first time since their resignations, former Senate Sergeant-at-Arms Michael Stenger and former House Sergeant-at-Arms Paul Irving. It should be interesting to hear what they have to say.
Well, it will, but nothing can really make up for the fact that they were unprepared, and I'm sure that's why they have all resigned. I'm sure they were asked to resign, but one doesn't know. Look, there are two issues here. One of them is that the president incited the mob. We know that's the case. We heard it with our own ears. You got to go up there and you've got to fight like hell. There was no question. I'm going to go with you. Didn't. But that is not what is being investigated today, although the Republicans are going to try to blame it, apparently, on Nancy Pelosi, of all people. She, of course, is my heroine, as far as I'm concerned. She's terrific. But the one thing about this Trump administration and the people who followed it is that it's very much like, you know, a Hitler-esque recitation of the facts over and over and over again. And as you pointed out to me, David, former Trump wife, Ivana, who is saying that Trump liked to read Hitler's speeches, was very interested in the way that Hitler used the big lie. Oh, really? We certainly have seen that, and we have certainly said it, and that really is degenerate. So they're going to have these hearings. The big lie will be on stage. They'll try to blame it on anybody except for the man who did it.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us here at WAMC.
This is really a wonderful relationship between the people who listen, the people who put this stuff out, like you, David. A miraculous thing that has somehow all come together. Stay safe, everybody. And if you want, you can put something in an envelope and send it to 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206, or WAMC.org, and keep this radio station going. You all know how important it is.